You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome to another edition of College Football Gridiron 365 podcast. I'm Brant Parsons with Matt Marshall. Football season is getting closer and closer. We're going to start a series now where we're going to look at some conferences. We'll definitely do the Power Five. We'll also look at the American. Your depth of knowledge, we could do every conference, but we'll see where we go. See where we are by the time we get there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you look at what's out there, but we're only about 5 or so weeks away from the start of the season. And, you know, I mean, I think it's you can see fans are really eager to find out what's going to happen.
So let's start in the ACC. Team had a contendant in the national title game last year, and they return a lot. The main storyline, I think, across the board, everybody will agree with us on this. They may not agree with us on many things, but the ACC story to watch, both in the conference and nationally, is Clemson and what they have coming back, which is formidable at a lot of positions, and can they take that next step and be national champs? I mean, this is no longer a question of, hey, can Clemson get to the ACC title game? Hey, can Clemson win the conference? Hey, can they get to the playoffs? If you look at this Clemson team, you have to think they're a team that should be and is being talked about as a team that could contend for the whole deal this year. It all starts at quarterback, but let's just talk about Clemson and from your vantage point, our vantage point, where we see them coming in this year. I think they're the main story in the ACC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they're going to be the favorite through most of the year, you know, in the ACC. I think when you look at the preseason poll was released from the ACC media days, you know, Clemson was the overwhelming favorite to win the conference. And I think that's a good spot to have them at. And I think they're going to be right back in it, you know, for the college football playoff. You mentioned Deshaun Watson, you know, quarterback, talented quarterback, who's going to go into the season as one of the top favorites to win the Heisman Trophy. You know, they've got seven other starters, on the offense, including Wayne Gallman, you know, running back, a very talented running back who doesn't get a lot of love outside of the state there. You know, they also return Mike Williams, a talented wide receiver who missed most of last season after he had that horrific crash in the back of the end zone in the first game of the year. Artavis Scott, you know, wide receiver. So they've got a lot of talent. Well, offensive line is going to be, you know, just suited up for like it was last year. I think the big question is going to be on defense. You know, they only returned 4 starters. They lost a lot of talent to the NFL and to graduation. So I think if they can find a way to stop some teams, and we know, you know, what kind of defensive coordinator Brett Venables is, I think Clemson is going to be right there and right in the mix for a national title again.
I mean, I think we've had questions about Clemson's defense before, and they seem to – Dabo Swinney is recruiting guys that they can fit in and kind of just not have too much of a fallback. When you have an offense like they do, the defense has a little time to grow into it also. But the job that Dabo's done there is among – you know, everybody talks about Saban and Urban Myers and that sort of thing, but the job he's done at Clemson – not just building a good team, but building a team that can sustain it. And that's even harder, I think, than anything. And I think Clemson is now there to where it's not a 1 or 2 year fluke thing. It's not something that, you know, they hope to peak every now and again. This is a team that has shown that it's deep, it's loaded, and prepared to be at the top, at least for as long as he's there. But just when you look at this Clemson team, it's what he's done to make them a consistent contender, I think. I don't know if he gets the credit that he should on that. Maybe he will start getting the credit, but I think that's been something that's amazed me about the Clemson program recently.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, you know, during his time period, you know, they've had 5 straight seasons of, you know, double-digit wins. You know, last year being at 14-1, their best season overall, obviously. And, you know, he is an amazing recruiter. They've done a great job of recruiting some, you know, top-notch talent. Obviously, when you got a guy like Deshaun Watson at quarterback, you know, and even then, Watson has developed into a top, you know, really becoming one of an elite quarterback. So, and if he's gotten better, and if you're hearing that over this offseason he spent some time in the Manning camp, and they talked about how he's really developed even more, I think that's going to help them out. I think, you know, he helps that situation. I think, you know, again, this year they're set for a big run, and then I think you're going to see some of the, on the defensive side, you're going to see some of that recruiting he's done really well. You're going to have some players that are going to be able to step in and, you know, kind of fill out some of the holes that they have with some of these guys going off to the NFL. So, and that's reason number why too, that when you talk about with Nick Saban ever does decide to leave Alabama, and with his, you know, with his you know, history with Alabama, that Dabo Swinney's name keeps coming up as a possible replacement if and when Nick Saban does decide to retire there.
And we'll talk more about Deshaun Watson. He's on my players to watch list, as you can imagine. But a few more storylines I want to make sure we get to, talking about the ACC heading into this season. This is our ACC preview, and we're in the state of Florida. We're in Orlando. We have this next team. They're going to be starting their season in Orlando with a big game against Ole Miss. And you and I, we didn't do podcasts last year, so you can't go back and find this out. But we did videos all season long, and we kept talking about how Florida State was set up to be dangerous in 2016. We looked at the guys they had, guys coming back. This is a team that is really proven at almost every position except quarterback, but this is a Florida State team that should and will compete with Clemson in the ACC.
Yeah, I think so, exactly. I mean, I think obviously the first opening game, as you mentioned, in Orlando on Labor Day night, I think that's the big test. I think that's where we'll get to see what this Florida State team really is going to be. And then I think as they move forward, you know, I mean, they're going to have a test. They're going to be on the road a couple weeks later at Louisville. They're going to be at Miami. And then they have Clemson, that Clemson game late in October. And I think that's a game that everyone's got circled on their calendar as being the really kind of the decisive maker in this team. But you look at their offense, they return, you know, anywhere from 9 to 11 starters on offense, including Dalvin Cook, a talented running back who, again, much like Deshaun Watson, should be considered as a Heisman Trophy candidate. And then defensively, you know, they've got a lot of players coming back. You can't discount Derwin James at safety. You know, so this team is really set to make a big run. I think the big question that everyone is going to be asking is this quarterback situation, is it going to be Sean McGuire, who played last year, or are we going to see DeAndre Francois, you know, the talented freshman, come in and maybe earn his stripes and get out there and get a chance to play?
Down south in the state, another storyline heading into the year, Mark Richt taking over at Miami. Former Cane, former Florida State coordinator, obviously most recently the Georgia head coach for what seemed like an eternity. He is in Coral Gables. He has taken over the Hurricanes program. He is already, you can tell he's already, you know, put his imprint on the program. He has instituted some Hurricane kind of attitude into the program. It is his goal, his belief, obviously, that he can return them to prominence. And he's got a pretty good team to start with. This isn't a guy going into an empty cupboard. Obviously, a guy that we'll talk about in our players to watch at quarterback, Brad Kaya. But there is talent at skill positions in Miami. They've been recruiting very well the last couple of years. They just haven't been able to develop that talent. But he's not going into a terrible situation, you know, like maybe a guy that would take over a Purdue or a Wake Forest or something. I mean, he's going in, and it will be expected to turn around the program quickly. It'll be interesting this year to see what kind of progress and what kind of impact Richt makes in that first year at Miami.
Yeah, I think this is like a twofold effort from Mark Richt this year. I think the first one, obviously, is on the field. I think you obviously want to get out and try to win some games. They want to be competitive. They want to maybe go for that, you know, elusive, you know, Coastal Divisional title. But I also think, too, that the second fold is they want to go out and he wants to rebuild, re-energize the fan base. You know, I mean, Al Golden kind of, you know, things kind of, you know, tapered off towards the end of the Al Golden era. I think really what Mark Richt wants to do is get the fan base energized, get the people in the seats. I mean, we know, we've seen it before. How many times on a Saturday have you seen the pictures on Twitter of a nearly empty stadium, you know, with Miami playing? And I think that's something that he wants to see. He wants to see more fans in the seats, and he's already accomplishing that. You know, they've sold over 40,000 season tickets, and I think we're seeing what the effect of Mark Richt is having so far. That's the first step. Now he's got to go on the football field, get some wins, and I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. But again, as you mentioned, lots of talent on this team.
And of course, one of the teams Miami will be competing with, North Carolina. The team that seemingly came out of nowhere last year. Is it an aberration? Are they a top ACC contender for the Coastal? Or who else could be this year's North Carolina? When you look at the Tar Heels heading into this season, does this look like a program poised to keep it up? Or do you see someone else taking it? I mean, Coastal's always up for grabs, it seems. But they were a tough team last year in North Carolina. Did things fall into place, or is this something that may be sticking around?
Well, this is something I think that may be sticking around. You know, I mean, you look at their return, almost 13 starters. You know, I think the biggest question mark is going to be at quarterback. Although, you know, Mitch Trubisky, you know, comes in, and he saw some time last year, one of the better backup quarterbacks, you know, last season in the ACC. He takes over as a starter. They return a top running back, over 1,400 yards rushing for Elijah Hood. So I think that's going to help this offense. Their offensive line pretty much returns every player except for one. I think this then falls on defense. And, you know, Gene Chizik, you know, the former Auburn coach, came in last year and did an amazing job transforming this defense. You know, 2014, the Tar Heels gave up 39 points a game. Last year, they only gave up 24. So did an amazing job. I think if you could do the same sort of thing this year, I think North Carolina is going to be there right there as well. But I also think don't be surprised if you see a team like Pittsburgh, for instance. Pat Narduzzi in his second year, he's got a really talented and deep defensive squad in Pittsburgh. They've got lots of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Nathan Peterman comes back at quarterback. You look at a guy, you know, look at their situation with James Conner coming back at running back. You know, again, those are teams I would keep an eye on. And then maybe Virginia Tech as well. You know, Justin Fuente has a little bit more of a building process going on there. Although he comes into a program, like we mentioned with Miami, it's there. It's set up. It's not like you have to rebuild from scratch. He's just going to kind of step in and try to maybe do some tweaks and get that offense maybe up to speed, something they haven't seen in quite some time there.
Certainly plenty of storylines to watch in the ACC. And players to watch, and we've touched upon this first one we're going to talk about a little bit when we're talking about Clemson, but this is a guy worthy of his own segment on our show, and I don't think anybody would argue with us on that. Deshaun Watson, he's on everybody's Heisman watch. He's the Davey O'Brien winner, over 4,000 yards passing, over 1,000 yards rushing, first FBS player ever to accomplish that. If you add his rushing touchdowns with his throwing touchdowns, you get the number 47. He's dynamic. He's a leader. He makes plays. He makes things happen. He makes guys around him better. You have to think you're going to get even more of that from him this year for Clemson.
Yeah, you really do think he's, you know, I mean, you think to yourself, how much more can he do? But I think, honestly, he could do a lot more. I mean, he's that good, and I think he's to the point right now where I think if you're there's only maybe a handful of quarterbacks this season that you could even think about maybe being, you know, top of the line. And I think he's got to be one of them. Maybe Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma. You know, some of those guys really step up. But, I mean, again, you know, when you complete close to 70% of your passes, you know, when you rush for over 1,000 yards, you throw for over 4,000 yards, I mean, there's so much there that he has to offer. And if he did get better, as he supposedly said, at the Manning camp, I mean, that's scary. If you're college football, you're the opposition to Clemson because, I mean, you just think to yourself, how much better can you get? And I think part of that will be just eliminating turnovers. He had 13 interceptions. If he can kind of cut that down maybe to the 7 or 8 mark and still have those 35, 36 touchdowns, I think we could see a very special year on Deshaun Watson.
And, of course, Heisman Trophy, you need the team to win. He should have that. But if Clemson is playing top five football season, he's certainly going to be on a very short list, I think, for the Heisman Trophy. A guy at Florida State who says he's the best running back in college football, he only needs a little over 1,200 yards. He's going to become Florida State's all-time leader should he stay healthy. Dalvin Cook. This guy is special. He can break almost anything from anywhere and is a key to that Florida State offense, especially with the questions at quarterback coming in this year. But Dalvin Cook, he may be the best running back in college football. I don't know that you could argue maybe a little bit against him, but you certainly aren't going to have a proofed argument to be able to downplay that. He may be the best running back in college football, certainly one of the most explosive.
Yeah, for sure. And imagine, he rushed for close to 1,700 yards last season, and he missed time. I mean, he missed a couple games. So, I mean, he was hampered for a lot of times with a hamstring injury. So I think that's scary to think that he could have easily been possibly 1,800 or maybe 2,000-yard rusher last season. I think if he'd hit that 2,000 mark, he might have been one of the three finalists in you know, the Heisman race. But I think he can get better. I think think if he's healthy, you know, he had some shoulder issues that he had surgery and is, says he's 100% healthy now coming into the season. If he's healthy and they can kind of keep him from getting, you know, banged up enough, I think Dalvin Cook could be right there along with, you know, Deshaun Watson for the Heisman Trophy race. Listen, we saw Cook break off some massive runs, not just in between the tackles, but just big home run type of runs. I think he had 22 runs over 20 yards last season. I mean, really a guy that was just incredible to have in the backfield. And as you mentioned, if this team has struggles a little bit, you know, when it comes to, you know, the quarterback position, believe me, they're going to turn around and they're going to hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook. So I think he's a guy that it's worth watching. And if he has a big statement game in that opener against Ole Miss, I think he'll jump right to the top along with Watson for the Heisman Trophy race.
Yeah, and you got to think maybe the winner of that Florida State-Clemson game, maybe the big player in there also maybe takes a lead out of the top player in the ACC race. Another running back I want to talk to heading into the season, Elijah Hood, running back from North Carolina. We talked about the Tar Heels and the great season they had last year, trying to build on that. Here's a guy. He was third in the ACC in rushing. He was all-AC academic team, 17 touchdowns, 6.7 yards per carry, 800-yard games. He had over 200 yards against NC State. North Carolina, as explosive as their offense is, a lot of that starts with this guy running the ball.
Yeah, it really does. You know, Hood was the program's first 1,000-yard rusher since 2012. So, you know, had a great performance last year. You know, we mentioned how Dalvin Cook really kind of helped, you know, elevate Florida State somewhat when their offense struggled at times. I think Elijah Hood was the same sort of way. You know, he had the luxury of having a guy in Marquise Williams, the quarterback, who was also a dual threat, could also run the ball a little bit. But I think Hood will have a strong, you know, strong performance again this season. I think their offensive line returns a lot of talent. And a guy who, again, when the quarterback position struggles a little bit, when you're having, you know, when you're having tough time getting those extra yards, I think he's a guy that could probably get them for you as well. He has another guy, TJ Logan, a junior running back, who kind of, you know, shares some of the carries with him as well. And I think having that kind of 1-2 combination too will help him out a little bit. Maybe he won't get a little bit tired towards the end of the season.
Last guy I want to talk about on our players to watch in the ACC list, Miami quarterback Brad Kaya. And this to me is the key to the change, at least the immediate change down there in Miami for Mark Richt. And he's known for being able to help quarterbacks. He was a quarterback. Brad Kaya seemingly has all the skills you want in a guy, seemingly has the leadership skills. He hasn't been able to put it all together, but if he is able to, And in doing so, helps this revival in Coral Gables, helps the Hurricanes get back to where they feel they should be, where most people feel they should be. He's a guy that should get some national attention because I think he will be the key if Miami has success this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think, obviously, if he's going to benefit the most, as you mentioned, from having a guy like Mark Richt behind him. Now we know Mark Richt is going to call the offensive plays for the first time in a long time. Richt, when I spoke with him a couple months ago, was excited about this opportunity. And he really got down to the point where he stood up from the table and got into a crouch shotgun position and talked about all the things he expects from Brad Kaya. And so there was a lot of energy in the room, and I think you're going to see that, you know, with Brad Kaya. And I think that's going to help him out a lot. I think having someone there who's been in the pocket, who's felt the same sort of pressure that, you know, Kaya has felt, and knows what it's like to be, you know, in those situations, I think all those things are going to help him out as well. You know, Brad Kaya had last year was a good year, not great. You know, his touchdown numbers fell, even though he cut his interceptions down. But I think, again, this offense is really going to be a lot more passing-oriented. I think they're going to mix in the runs, kind of what we saw a little bit at Georgia. I expect Brad Kaya to put up big numbers. I would be shocked if he doesn't become a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy.
All right, now this is the part of the program that maybe people will skip over and not get angry at us, but I'm going to ask your predictions. I'll give my predictions for the ACC this year. We'll keep it simple. Just pick the division winners. Who do you have coming out of that Atlantic division? And then who do you have coming out of the Coastal?
Well, I like, you know, honestly, I really think that Clemson is going to come out of the Atlantic. But I think it's going to be a razor-thin edge there. I mean, I think, honestly, you know, the experience of playing in the playoff and going to the, you know, going to the national championship game really helped this team, and losing the way they did to Alabama, you know, kind of in a close fashion, I think that's going to put a little fire in Clemson. That's why I've got them maybe just kind of going just a little tad bit ahead, winning the Atlantic and going into the championship. And I think on the other side, I like North Carolina. Again, But I think that Miami is just right there knocking on the door. I think if Miami, if North Carolina slips up, I could see the Hurricanes finding their way in there. And I think Pittsburgh's going to be third. I think they're a team, too, that is waiting for the opportunity maybe to kind of showcase themselves. They've got defense, and we know defense wins championships.
I'm going to take the guys that you have right behind them. I'm taking Florida State to win the Atlantic. Again, razor thin between the two. I think by the time they play, Florida State will have at least some consistency at their quarterback position. And when they find that with all the other talent that Jimbo has there, I think they find a way to beat Clemson. And Florida State comes out of the Atlantic. And hey, when Florida State and Miami joined the ACC, we kept hearing about, oh, great, every title game is going to be Florida State versus Miami. We're finally going to get that this year. Mark Richt, he knows how to be successful with talented players. He's got talented players in Miami. I am a believer in Brad Kaya, especially all the reasons you said with Rick coming in and the play calling and how things are going to play into Brad Kaya's strength. Miami wins the Coastal. We'll finally have Florida State and Miami in the ACC title game.
That'd be great. I mean, if you could have that kind of matchup, I'm sure the conference would love that. I'm sure, again, you get the idea. You know, you have that kind of traditional matchup. We've seen the wide left, wide right. We've seen all those kind of situations. So you're looking at a definite opportunity right there for Miami to win a lot of buzz, especially considering these two teams play each other later on in the year.
Correct. And before we end up, who's your ACC champion?
I'm going to go with Clemson. I think Clemson wins the ACC. I think if they stay healthy and Deshaun Watson doesn't get hurt and their offensive line stays up, I think Clemson's going to be right there.
And I'm going to go Florida State. Miami's back, but they're not quite back all the way to compete with a Florida State or a Clemson. And I've got the Seminoles. I said it all last season, and I thought this was the year that they were building toward. So I'm going to stick with that. And I have Florida State winning the ACC. I guess we'll find out. It's why they play the games, right?
That's right.
For Matt Marshall and Brant Parsons, that has been our ACC preview. We will continue going around the college football world this offseason. Make sure you click and subscribe and tell a friend or 10 to listen on the podcast. We'll be doing this all season long. Next up, the Big Ten. Be previewing the Jim Harbaugh conference. There's other guys up there too, right?
Yeah.
And I can never remember.
Yeah, there's more than just Jim Harbaugh, it seems, right?
I don't know. I haven't been able to find out, but I'll do some research because all I ever see from the Big Ten is Harbaugh. But we'll be discussing the Big Ten on the next edition. For Matt, I'm Brant. Thanks for listening to College Gridiron 365 podcast at OrlandoSentinel.com.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.